St. Paul City Council or Committee meeting to order. Good morning. Happy March 1st. It'll only be a few days till it's March 4th, which we love. There are two items on our org committee agenda today, updates on boards, commission, committees, and other, and monthly director's update. And just in the spirit of hoping a few more folks tumble in, I would like to switch the order. So if we have updates from boards, commissions, committees, and other, maybe we can start there this morning. And then I'll just say, I think this is just was emailed up, but we will go straight to our pre-council meeting when this adjourns so that we can, I need to be somewhere today at noon. So, all right. Does anyone want to kick us off on updates on boards, commissions, committees, and other? I will start just to get the juices flowing. I know I've got coffee. I will just start by sharing that I, as you know, I serve as a delegate for our board member for the League of Minnesota Cities. They are in the middle of an executive director search. They posted the position, so one of the part of the work of the board right now is hiring a new executive director. I think that's one of those organizations that's worked hard to groom an incoming leader, so I don't know if that's a if there's a shoe-in for that role or not, but that is a big piece of the work. And then the other piece is the ongoing work up at the legislature. And I think over the time, at least I've been on the council, I've noticed how much more the entire League of Cities agenda aligns with St. Paul's agenda. I think we used to feel like we had to be there to fight back in the small cities. And between our local control on cannabis, our fighting for local government aid and allocations to the cities that sometimes counties get allowed to collect taxes and then end up spending cities' resources out in the greater part of the county. And I understand that, but it's being an advocate for city resources is great. They're doing great work. They've also had a transition in their longtime leader of government affairs. And so there's a transition there as well. But, again, a well-oiled machine. They have an excellent team that's doing great work. Last week I sent one-pagers to council members to just see what they're walking around with as their top priorities. Great. I thought it was great information. It's like, what's the league doing? This is what the league is doing. And so we're getting regular updates from them. I will have more next month after with the legislative update in terms of where we're at with some of those top priorities. They were really impressed that the two bonding bills were moving forward. You know, one is on its way to being passed now. What? And then the other one will be towards the end of the session. But for folks that aren't following that closely, literally all of our bonding priorities are on the first bill, except Como and the Port Authority's Heights request. But that will be on the second bonding bill. Okay. Is what we're hearing. So it's. I think we've said for many years, why are we so shy about our ask? Let's ask for everything. And we did that this year, and it looks like we're getting it. So now they just have to vote to pass it, get it signed into law. So that's exciting. So I'll have more to report on that next month at the update. And then just another reminder that we have kind of worked to through the boards and commissions list to make sure that we're it's important that there's council members on some boards and commissions, and some maybe it's time to sunset those opportunities or provide them to staff members. Or as Ms. Prince did, CAPRW got a member of our Office of Financial Services to serve on their board as opposed to a council member, and it seemed like a better fit. So those, I know that Bryn is still working on those. One of the roles that I have that I feel is in the iffy place but wonderful is I'm St. Paul College. And the work that's happening at St. Paul College, as I've mentioned many times, is so impressive and so tied to our workforce work, and the county is at the table. And it seems to me that there's an opportunity for council members to serve on all of our colleges and the city's boards, and maybe something that we should look into in the future is, like, how do we get there or get us staff members on all of those boards so we know what the work is that's happening. But particularly St. Paul College is really tied to career path and getting people degrees and into good paying jobs, and they're doing an excellent job of collaborating with our existing partners and getting their students through the pipeline, and their enrollment's up in spite of everything you hear everywhere else, and the place is just bustling. So always good information there. And sometimes they serve us food that the kids in their culinary program make, and it's so stinking cute. They're nervous as can be and really good. They come up, but they're like serving the board, nervous, and it's so cute. So so anyway, that is just a reminder to be thinking if there are, I think Metro State would be a good place to have a council representative, in particular, maybe some of the small private colleges would be hard to elbow your way onto, but the Metro in particular, I think, would be a good place to just get a seat. So, okay, so that's what I have. Any other reports?
One, if I could.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to report since last month on my boards and commissions. One thing I did want to say about the league and those one-pagers you sent us was I did a little bit of digging into the Competitive Cities Street Fund, where they're making all the same cases that we are, like we don't have enough money to fix our roads because we don't have enough money to do anything. And I think it's great. I called Christian and he said we're definitely supporting that. I imagine we're supporting most of the league's agenda, but it would create a $10 surcharge on vehicle registrations that would produce a $57 million fund every year for cities to be able to fix roads. And I think the other good information in there is that the MSA funding just doesn't cut it anymore. I mean, the state really is not doing what we need to keep our city infrastructures up. So I was really happy to see that. Whatever happens with the 1% sales tax, I think this is at least a step in the right direction. And then otherwise, the River Center has hired the search consultant. I can't think of his name. All of you guys know
Orion.
It. But the same Orion that did that brought us Bryn and Nicole Goodman. And I did go to a meeting to talk to him. I think he's on my agenda today to talk about what we're looking at. And I'm excited about that. So otherwise, the other thing with dispatch, because there are three council members on it, we are a significant part of quorum. So we kind of have to urge our fellow colleagues to be attending.
So on dispatch, it sounded like last week there wasn't a quorum, but then Rick Shute showed up, and
Rick was there, and no, it was Russell who showed up.
Russell showed
about
up
45 minutes in. You know, it's finding the Shoreview Library.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, one of the questions that we posed to there was actually a couple. One we posed to Ramsey County was, should we get together and talk about is this necessary? You know, like when we first merged, the dispatch was really important because we're like, there's oversight, but maybe we're at a point where, you know, getting an annual report from dispatch would be ample. And they were like, we'd actually be very open to talking about that. So I think that we'll engage you in a conversation about, like, I think part of the problem with dispatch is we're not necessarily advancing. We're approving things, but it's mostly perfunctory because ultimately it's governed by the Ramsey County Board. So it's hard to feel that sense of urgency to get there. But you're right, if we're on the board, we should show up.
And they are in the midst of working on their alternative response program initiative. And I am thinking that at some point, they're working with ONS on that, and I think at some point, that's another report we should have at the council.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't go into a lot of detail at the dispatch meetings, which would make it worthwhile to be at the dispatch meeting. But anyway, I'd like to add that to our agenda at some point.
Absolutely, and let's also follow up on just the board itself. And then the other one that we had talked about that was Ramsey County League of Local Cities. And we did learned that they've changed their, I know that their meeting time used to be like Wednesday night at 7:30, some like horrible, for us, a horrible time. And that is its own entity, so it's not run by Ramsey County, but they said, no, it's on Fridays now, but there's nowhere you can find what time. So we've been trying to track that down, but they encouraged us to participate in that, the committee, and said if this, you know, we said if the time, if it remains at a 7:30 p.m. time, it's going to be hard for us to participate in that. So we're following up on that piece as well. I know that there's, they want us there, but again, sometimes it's hard to know what value we're adding, and I think that the time in particular was very challenging. So that's one of the two, or two that we're particularly looking into.
And just one other thing, and I've talked to, I think I've talked to both you and Councilmember Nacre about this and to Bryn, but the Violence Prevention Intervention Committee that's been meeting for a couple of years, I would really like it if we could add that to our updates at these meetings going forward. I understand Russell is on that group now, and I think it just would be really good to know, given that things are challenging out there, and the more we know, the better.
Okay. Well, two folks are here that are on that group, so I'll get an update on that today.
Oh, great.
Okay. And yes.
Thanks, Council President. Just a couple updates. I sit on the St. Paul Children's Collaborative Board, which I often don't have much to report on, but I did want to let folks know that next month, or actually next week, March 8th, for their March board meeting, they're going to have a what's called a community of care meeting. So it's not just a board meeting, but it's open to community. And the focus is on youth engagement and specifically engaging young people who often aren't engaged in traditional programming. So given the spate of violence we've seen lately and this, you know, desire to really make sure all of our young people are supported and constructively engaged, I thought this might be a topic of interest, and all of us are welcome to come. So I'll make sure to send out the invite to that. Mm-hmm. But that's not next week, March 8th at 9. And then also on the audit committee, just to update, Councilmember Prince and I co-chair that, just to, we don't have a ton to update on, but just to say that one of the things we're looking at is engaging a consultant to be sort of on retainer to conduct audits throughout the year rather than having to bring on somebody new every year for every topic. Our feeling is that that will allow the committee to be much more flexible and nimble and be able to take on issues and questions that come up from this body on a more regular basis than the once a year going through procurement process entails. So we're going to get some information about that. We're very sad to be losing Holly, who's going to be doing some other work for us. So I think we need to talk about how to follow up on some of the budget follow-up questions that had been given to audit through Holly. And then the Early Learning Committee that Councilmember Yang, Councilmember Jalali, and I are part of is rapidly wrapping up its work. We have one meeting tomorrow and then a final meeting March 16th, and then we will be done and we will be presenting the report of that committee to the council on March 22nd at our council meeting. So just wanted to, by the time we next check in at org committee, that work will be done, and really are hoping to incorporate all the feedback we've gotten from you about what you want to see in that report. I know both Councilmember Jalali and I have been doing rounds, and if you have any final thoughts about things that you want to make sure come out of the recommendations, we're literally finalizing the decision survey tomorrow at 9, so let us know if there's anything that you think of, you know, tomorrow in the shower that you definitely want to make sure that committee recommends or reports on. And then finally, Council President Bren Moen and I sat on the Port Authority Board, and yesterday we had just a really fantastic presentation about the Heights and probably the most comprehensible financial analysis, costs and uses, sources and uses spreadsheet I've ever seen. I actually understood how it's all going to flow, and I'm sure you've gotten this information, Councilmember Yang, but it looks great, and they've got so many letters of interest already for almost all of the parcels, I think except two on the site. So it just, they're going gangbusters. It's going to be great. That's it.
Yeah, and I think it was an excellent report, and also just like an understanding, you know, pinch points in development and when how things ebb and flow is very interesting. The other thing that they mentioned at the Port Authority was as part of their increasing their presence in the community and underscoring really their brand, they're going to be offering some continuing real estate education and also maybe if they can, there'll be CLEs as well, and for legal education and HR, and like basically going using their big brains to do presentations about, you know, big development and brownfield cleanup, and really sounded interesting. And they're like, you know, we're expecting to have 80 to 100 people participating in these classes. They sound like they'd be online, I think, and it was very, very well received by the group, and just, you know, meeting all their goals, and then also having people be more aware of the work that's happening there. So I thought that was really cool too.
Could I just make a comment? The CLEs sound great, and Chris and I probably are always looking for free CLEs that are relevant to our work, so that's great. What I wanted to mention when you said you'd heard the Heights presentation was how excited I am that Jean Louis Druk and his Hawaiian Paradise Coffee are moving into the Heights. It is a coffee company in Hawaii that wants to have a continental production facility. Their growth is fantastic. And they're a great employer. And so Stephanie and I started working with him back, I think it was 2016, because he was interested in the small building at the Hams Brewery. And it didn't pan out because we were looking at a couple of other things for that space. And now, of course, he's growing so significantly that it's great to have the larger space available at the Heights. And I'm really relieved to hear that the funding for the infrastructure funding is on the list of the legislature, because it's only $14 million and it'll start getting the roads built up there. So
they then their spreadsheet, they talked about like the you know, if they get it, if they don't get it, and I mean, if it's much better. Much, much better if they get it, and it's less pressure on us as a city. But it sounds to me like the cash bond will include the other priorities, and then our regular bond will have the Port Authority's ask. Yeah.
I have one update to give about the Water Board. We had a really great and interesting PowerPoint presentation from the community leaders who run the Rice Tree Garden, and they shared with us that for the past 7 years they've been using their community garden. It was a lease by the St. Paul Regional Water Services, and now the lease is up. So they came and asked if it's possible for them to buy some of the land, if not all of it. And basically where the board landed is we don't have an answer yet, but we're hoping to hear some more from the staff members about it. So this might be something that you also wanted to flag about it.
Yeah, and just on, I have tied to that two things. One is the lease is up every year. It's a 1 year lease, and part of it was just to make sure that we were checking in every year, as opposed to, you know, letting them go for 7 years. And so that has been an ongoing conversation. I thought it was super great that they came in with a proposal that was like, we don't want all of this, but we'd like to have this, and we'd like to pay for it. Mm-hmm. It was a really interesting conversation that we'll address in the future. But I think that there was the challenge with the water utility is we can't give away land that we procured for potential water development because of our rate base and et cetera. So, and I know Mr. Tolbert often feels like there's no surplus land for in a built-up city like this, and that preserving that might make more sense. So it's a complicated conversation, but the same group was at the Rice-Larpenteur Alliance annual meeting last night, and we, as you recall, got a great update from Kim O'Brien at some point last year with telling us the progress at Rice-Larpenteur. I think, I don't remember if it was before or after that the Lamplighter closed. But last night was a night of celebration. There was over 80 people in attendance in the three cities, the mayor of Roseville and Maplewood, and great group. The Rice Street Garden folks were there, Metro Transit, NEO Partners, just a full room of just stars. LaTanya Black, who used the tragic murder of her daughter to do peaceful protesting and demand something better at that corner. And if you drive through there, you can really see a change. There's a great group of youth ambassadors that will be working with the group this summer. But it was very hopeful. A group that originally started out with three regular people trying to do something, and all of a sudden you're at a community meeting, a diverse room of lots of neighbors who are ready to take the work forward. So it's very, very exciting, a night to celebrate. It was fun. Other stuff?
I just say two things. One, Water is hiring for the lead pipe replacers, and so if people can share that on their social media, it is the city's probably premier barrier-free jobs. All I need to be is 18. You'll need a driver's license to do the work, but Ling Becker and them will get you in a driver's license program if you need a driver's license. And when the summer's completed, you have a pathway and training to go into Water as a full-time employee. So it's a great pathway and entry-level barrier job. Share it with your networks if you can, because I know they really need to find people so we can get those lead pipes out. And also on that, on the job front, Right Track is doing their interviews. I know that sent out to sign up, but the interviews are a really fun thing to do, and I recommend people to do that. It's one of my favorite things to do. So interview the young people about what jobs they want. Generally, they don't want to be a lawyer, I can tell you that. They don't want to do tech.
You're the representative on the Visit St. Paul, the new hire for Visit St. Paul. Do we have an idea on the timeline for that?
Yes. I'm trying to think exactly when it is. I mean, it's as soon as we possibly can, but blanking on the exact amount of time. Do you remember, Jane?
Because I can't. I know he said it was a tight time frame when we met.
Yeah. And I want to say like 90 days or
three
months or so. Is what sticks in my brain, but they want to get someone in place as soon as possible, but I think we'd rather get the right person than just some person.
Right. And right now, Cindy DuPont is interim?
Yep, Cindy DuPont, who's actually retiring, I believe, at the end of the year. She's the interim, and they seem to be doing great. The staff has been let loose, and they seem to be really...
They're everywhere on social media.
Yeah,
everywhere. Okay, so ultimately we'll be replacing the executive director role, and then the deputy position will be vacant at the end of the year too. So that's a lot of transition.
Either internally or that person, I suspect the executive director should make that decision.
Yeah,
number two.
But so lots of change there.
Yeah, Cindy's the CFO, so.
Okay.
But really exciting change. So.
Thanks, Council President. Mr. Tolbert, do you know where the no barrier lead free jobs is being advertised? I'm wondering if in particular it's been sent out to like community ambassadors and 21 Days of Peace and face to face in places that might interact with youth who.
I know Ling has been doing it. Raquel has been sending it out to a lot of folks. Raquel from Water, Raquel Vasquez.
Okay.
Adam emailed it to all the council. So if you have it, if you could forward it on to any of your people in your networks, I think that would be great. But we've been trying to get it on the mayor. I know the mayor's been putting it out too. So.
Okay.
And I just have a quick concern about the lead line program. I went out door knocking with staff about a month ago, and I assumed that when I ran across people who didn't speak English, that they could go to the QR code and get to a translation, but they don't have the materials translated, which adds the pretty serious concern that if they want to sign a contract to have their lead line replaced, they're not getting it in their language. So I did connect Grace, who is a person who I think is in charge of the outreach, with Edmundo, so at least they could talk about what's possible language-wise with the city attorney. But it's something that I've been meaning to circle back about, because I just don't want to lose that opportunity for people who don't speak English. And signing anything that they don't know what they're signing is probably not.
And that's been a conversation about having people who can speak the language, but also, cultural liaisons to go out and do the door knocking. I will say, last year, I think two houses did not take the lead pipe. So, and one of the guys, as they said, he's like, I've drank lead my whole life. I don't need to pull the lead pipe now.
Sounds like
Rachel. Yeah. I think we can all visualize that guy. But
Rebecca said, sounds like a guy who's drank lead his whole life.
Point case in point.
But the take rate is incredibly high. Incredibly.
And they follow up, yeah. So, but I know that they, part of the program is hiring ambassadors to go out and make those connections, but that's a good flag for water if they haven't done the translation on paper yet.
I suppose because it's one thing to have the conversation and another thing to sign a contract. Okay, Ms. Anker.
Last one, Council President, thank you. Ms. Prince, to your question about the Violence Reduction Group, I do think it would be good to get an update from them, but just as a quick, like, what's going on so far, as one of the folks who attends, one piece of good news is that the group has really expanded, so it includes corrections and law enforcement and schools and suburban jurisdictions now as well. It provides a good forum for data sharing on crime and prevention and also on ideas that generate from the crowd and that lead to other policy solutions. So, for example, we talked about the need for alternative detention facilities for young people that aren't Totem Town, aren't jail, but are places, smaller, you know, home-like settings, but where young people can really be rehabilitated when that's necessary. And so that's led to, you know, the ask at the legislature for that funding. So it's really a good solution generation group. We also get updates on the work on focused deterrence, on healing streets. That's mostly being led by Ryan O'Connor and the county. So I would say it's a mixture of problem solving, new issues coming up, sometimes learning about new ideas, and then updates. But that's just a summary of what we've been doing. I think it is a good time to get an update from them.
And I think from that group, and also if we can have those specific initiatives come to council and report. I mean, the things that we have funded over the last couple of years, we know very little about where they're at or if they've been scrapped for something else. So I think that's really important, because when things happen, as they have been over the last couple of months, you know, people are looking to all of us to have some kind of answers. And it's really nice to be able to say, here's what we're doing. But we don't have metrics on any of our programs that we funded for the 2020 budget, let alone things that we've funded in the meantime. And I did see a really very hopeful article on I think it was in the Trib, but it might have been the Pioneer Press, about booster club people in some of the, you know, more impacted neighborhoods. That there are still booster clubs is good to see, but a couple of dads stepping up and saying, we want to help. And I think the fact that we have done such a good job of funding programming in the hardest hit rec centers, and that what we do need are volunteers, it's giving those people a way to connect to the programs that we've funded so that things are actually working and expanding.
Sure. I mean, just reading about some of the interim solutions at Harding with parents volunteering.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. We have the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Company on the council agenda on the 15th. So we will get a full report from them in 2 weeks. And we're expecting to get that information, all that you're asking for. And I think any one of us would say we wish we could have heard that before these last few weeks. Mm-hmm. But that is when they're on the schedule. And so we should get a full report at that time.
Great. Thanks.
Russell, thanks for joining us. Eddie, we're giving updates on boards, commissions, and committees. We flipped our agenda. Is there anything from that you want to add?
Sorry, I'm late. I can't think of anything.
Okay. And we did cover dispatch. We covered the violence reduction group. A lot of ground is covered, but just want to make sure we didn't. We're going to shift gears right now, so I will. So if there's no other updates from boards or commissions, I will turn things over to our fearless leader, Bryn House.
Hi. Excuse me. Welcome. Okay. I haven't talked apparently all morning. Okay. Sorry. So I've got a few things on my update. I have to start off, it's not an excuse, but I have had a lot going on with my kids for the last few days and didn't really put my points together until this morning for this. So if I'm missing anything that you want to hear about, just let me know and I'll talk about whatever you want me to talk about. But so I'm going to go through a few policies for our office and the city. You've got a couple in front of you. I'm going to talk about some council operations, including our staffing study update, our reparations commission, getting that together, some personnel stuff, and then I will talk about a couple of upcoming org committee meetings that we've got in the works. So first, to talk about a few policies. In front of you, you have the city's political activity policy. I just wanted to reshare it. It's an election year. I shared it with all of our – I shared this and the workplace conduct policy that you have in front of you at an all-staff meeting with all of our staff a couple of weeks ago. Nothing new in either of them, but I just wanted to bring them up, like lift them up and make sure that we are all have the information in front of us. Political activity policy is nothing too crazy, just basically no city resources for campaign activity, including like staff time. But if on either front, and then the workplace conduct policy, again, nothing new there. You've all seen it before, but just it's always good to review that, I think, at the start of each year and just remind ourselves kind of what is and isn't acceptable behavior. And on either front, if you ever have questions, concerns, anything like that, always come and talk to me. I'm so, like, more than happy to work through questions in, on the front end. It's a lot easier than sorting through problems on the back end. So if you – and then the third one I wanted to just mention, you all received an email from Holly on February 17th with the 2023 ward budget guidance. And so same to that, if you have questions about how you can use your ward budgets, come and talk to me anytime and we'll figure it out. So that is what I have for you all there. On to council operations. So we are in the midst of our staffing study. Finally, it is happening. We had our kickoff meeting with our staff on February 16th, where the consultant from Baker Tilly came into our all-staff meeting and just kind of walked through the process with everyone of how what that'll look like and what the ultimate goal and outcomes he expects should be. And just like the main point there, which I think I talked about at our January all staff meeting or our January org meeting, is just this is our chance as council members and council staff to like look at how our office is structured and like make it the best it can be for the future. And so it's really exciting and like exciting opportunity for all of us to have a lot of input in how that plays out and what the results of that study end up being. So I just really want everyone to like feel like a sense of ownership over this process and feel like everyone's voice matters and we all get to participate equally. And so it's, I think, a really cool opportunity to be part of. They don't happen very often, so it's fun when you get to be part of it. So we did have one focus group. The LAs had theirs, but most of the we're starting individual interviews in a couple more focus groups next week. You all, I'm going to work on scheduling time for you all, too. You'll have a one-on-one with a consultant as well. It'll be an hour-long meeting, so I ask that you, you know, I gave your EAs a heads-up already, but I ask that you make time on your calendar for that when the time comes in the next couple of weeks. And just know that, like, whatever you say to the consultant is confidential between you and the consultant. He's not going to tell me, Councilmember so-and-so said this. He will summarize everything and put it in a report, but it's not going to have names attached. Like, I want you all to feel empowered to say whatever you feel you need to say and just know that it will be confidential and it's not going to be, like, tied to your name. So use that time to be as open and honest as you want to be about what you think the council should look like going forward from a staffing perspective. So before I move on, any questions on anything so far? Okay. Keep moving. So, Reparations Commission. We are accepting applications through March 24th. It's been open for a couple of weeks now. We have received a bunch of applications. Marsha, Polly, and Sonia are working through the applications as they come in, just to summarize that information on a rolling basis. And we've gotten a bunch, but one limitation we have is that the ordinance requires that commission members be St. Paul residents. And so a lot of the applications we've gotten are from non-St. Paul people. So our ask of all of you is to share the application with your networks. And if there's somebody who you think would be good to serve on the commission, please like encourage them to apply and let us know that you encourage that person to apply. We want to make sure that we're setting this commission up as well as we can. And so I think it would be really important if all of you are able to help us get the word out and encourage people to apply. That would be awesome. We have, like I said, until March 24th, so lots of time still. We are working through that. And on that note, so getting to personnel,
Brynn, actually, before you move on, just because I think it's timely, I sent out a message at the end of the day yesterday reminding council offices that there's not enough people serving on the Neighborhood Star board right now. Several wards have one representative. I think Ward 5 has three that don't show up. We've brought this to the mayor's attention for several months. They assured us yesterday that they'll be appointing people and the next meeting should be fine. I encourage folks to get people signed up for Neighborhood Star. I went on the page. I can't figure out when they meet. There's no description that says what they really do there, so I know it's very difficult to encourage people to sign up for question mark. But if you know, and I'm going to push Noel Nix on that a little later today, but it was an interesting conversation with the mayor. I was like, well, when do they meet? He's like, I don't know. Like, so all of the boards and commissions are generally appointed, with exception of reparations, are generally appointed by the mayor. However, they seek our referrals, and we can assure that the boards are filled with good folks. If we know, meet them out on the doors, meet them at community meetings, get a constructive email into your office, and maybe say to that person, you should be on a board or commission. The application process is easy and online, but we are, like I said, we were complaining about how they hadn't been able to get a quorum and then looked at the page and saw that many of us have lots of vacancies on the start board, so it's somewhat incumbent upon us to make sure that good people are applying. So just a minute, that's where that came from. I think we've been trying to move Ward 2 year-round STAR project through for 4 months, and they have not been able to get a quorum, and they won't move it forward without a quorum vote. And five months?
For $5,000.
For $5,000. I'm about ready to P-card that thing, but the challenge there, especially for council members who are not seeking re-election, is I'm planning to spend every damn penny of my STAR money, and if I can't get it out the door, that's a problem. So I'm going to work hard to make sure that the people we have appointed are either going or quitting, and getting good folks in the pipeline, and I encourage folks to do the same for that. And there's a board advisory board on aging, a board on disabilities, there's the CIB committee. There's all sorts of committees and people can get involved, but the more people we put in the pipeline, the more likely they'll be seated to the board. End of rant.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So on to personnel, and this is related to reparations. So we have the position. It was formerly Kat Beltman's position that was posted. It closed last week. We received a number of really strong applications, so we are moving forward with that process. I do just want to clarify, so I posted it with a really long title of like Reparations Commission Staffer and District Council Liaison, but really this position is a senior policy analyst position. When we hire, we want to make sure we're hiring the right person. So we will go through this applicant pool, and hopefully our right person is in there. If they're not, we'll figure out a way to find the right person. But essentially, it's a senior policy analyst, you know, the same position we have Marcia and Nia in. They will be assigned to Reparations Commission, potentially some other committee work as needed. However the council needs to utilize them, we will. And then they will also, part of their portfolio to start with will be liaising with the district councils, but we will see if that continues to make sense or if that should be moved out to a separate position. You know, we're going to continue to be flexible, but I just wanted to like clarify, we have this position. We will make sure that what this position is doing is serving the needs of the council, and part of that work is this important Reparations Commission work, but that's not 100% of what we envision that the staff will be supporting. So, like I said, we're reviewing those applications and figuring out what this process is going to look like, and I will just keep you all in the loop on that, this as it moves forward. It's kind of a moving target a little bit. Then we also, I wanted to mention Right Track interns. So Jessica Larson-Johnston has been working really hard with the Right Track program to make sure that we are able to bring in Right Track interns if you all are interested. In the past, they've been paid for out of the general council budget because council supports Right Track as a program. We've worked with some other city departments to help pay for those a little bit, I think. But essentially, we want to make sure we have a strong Right Track cohort. Last summer's program, I think, went really well, and we're really hopeful that and excited about the opportunity to make council a really fun and unique opportunity for these kids to get to know both legislative process and what it's like to work for the city. So Jessica's working really hard on putting together a really cool program for the summer. If your ward office is interested in hosting an intern, connect with Jessica and we'll figure out that plan. But she wants to make, you know, we want to make sure they're all kind of in on the same time so that they can go to the same, you know, fill some potholes and take cool tours and then work on an interesting capstone also to make it, you know, the full program. So I wanted to lift that up, and yeah,
just on that as well. Just, I know that sometimes, especially if it feels like a busy year in front of us, that I've been resistant to bringing on an intern because I do know that's a lot of extra work. And what Jessica is, with creating sort of an infrastructure, there's like group activities that happen that take the pressure off each of the wards. So you end up really focusing on like one day with your Right Track intern and the rest of it will be more programmed. So if you haven't done it in the past, it's a really good opportunity. And I think just the reports at the end of the season last year were so absolutely heartwarming and like in ways like life changing for some folks. We can't get rid of Paul. He just which is a good thing, right?
Really good.
Just really, really lovely people. So think about it, because we do need to get a number to Right Track, but I completely understand the hesitation, especially for people who are running this year. But the infrastructure around the interns makes it a whole lot easier to host one. So encourage people to think about it. Ms. Anker.
Thanks, Council President. I totally agree, and huge thanks to Jessica for making it into an actual program. I've always felt sort of bad that we had, you know, if we had an intern and they were alone or they didn't get to experience all the breadth and depth of the city. So kudos to you for doing that. I'm really glad we're doing it again. The only question I have is, I think one of the things we actually struggled with a little bit last year was that when you have your intern for less time, it makes it a lot easier because you don't, you know, run out of things for them to do, but it also means you can't, it's a little bit more difficult to engage them in ongoing work because you don't have them for as much time. So I'm just wondering, wanting to be supportive of the program for sure, is there, are there sort of general council positions so that, you know, if wards don't adopt, we still have work for young people to do, and or are we relying on each ward to host somebody, otherwise they won't be able to be a council Right Track intern? Does that make sense?
No, not really.
So do we have a certain number? I guess I'm wondering, is there council's general work that can happen that isn't ward specific that would allow the council to take an intern to do council research, council policy needs, or does it need to be, if a ward doesn't host somebody, then we don't have a spot for that Right Track intern in our council?
I think we've been thinking about it as a ward, as them working with a ward. There was a moment, yeah, actually, when Jessica and I talked yesterday, I was like, it would be cool if we could get, like, one general, like, a central Right Track intern, but I don't know that we'll be ready to do that this year. Maybe next year.
It is nice for them to have ownership in a certain area and have a relationship with a council member, I think, too.
Yeah.
So that's the
it's
downside.
You guys are cooler than, I don't know, it's like cooler to be with a council member.
Obviously.
Some days. Okay. Okay. Sorry, okay. Interrupted one off on a flyer.
That's great. And so one last personnel update I have is that I'm sure you've all heard, but Holly Houston is moving on to the Port Authority, so we are going to have a new vacancy coming up there. So I'm hoping to get that posted ASAP. I was hoping this week, but then, you know, life kind of threw me a wrench. So I haven't gotten that ready yet, but it'll be up and posted soon, and I will share with all of you to help us find our next great chief budget analyst. One last personnel thing I have on here. So Last month I mentioned, or I guess January, I mentioned we were implementing a new like EA backup system. So when they're out for a day, they've got coverage. Seems to me like I've been hearing more that that's happening and going on, but I just wanted to make sure it's you've all noticed the change, and that if you have any feedback, please follow up with me on how that's going. And we're happy to make sure, you know, rework it and make sure it's working for all of you. So, all right. So, upcoming org committee meetings. Next week, we're going to be doing an ARP update. The week after that, I'm planning on a public safety ONS update. And then the full schedule for the next, probably at least for March and April, maybe a little bit into May, will be posted this week. So I will get that around to all of you. And then as meetings get scheduled, we'll continue to post those and share with all of you as those go. So we're working on that. And then when this meeting is done, I'll send you all an email with these with the PDFs of these policies, with the I'll resend the ward budget guidance, and I'll send you all the link for the Reparations Commission application so you can make sure to share that with anybody who would be good to apply. That's my update for today. Happy to have anything else I missed or questions or anything.
Just to share also, our policy sessions have typically began earlier in the year to allow council time to ruminate about what's moving forward and what's not in the city and be able to prepare a budget memo for the mayor's office in advance of their budget presentation. Ms. Naker will be chairing the policy meetings this year as a council vice president. We're going to try to do some, you know, changes there, but we'll need to move through that in a manner that allows us to get together our thoughts in advance of the mayor's budget process. So I'm just recognizing that it is March 1st, and we have much work to do. We typically get that to, with the help of Ms. Houston, but to the mayor's office by May. And so we got a lot in front of us to do. And it's an interesting year, too, just with it being an election year for council and school board. So just recognizing the timing is somewhat complex. And then I would also just say that we are so sad to see Holly go. But yesterday at the Port Authority, I'm telling you, that place is moving. there's really great energy, and I think that it's a gift to them that you're going to go land there with your relationship with the city, with finance, with the council, and bring that to the port because they're rising. They're doing really great work, and so we feel excited for you. But Holly, next week, Tuesday is her last day, the little stinker. So we'll work. I'm really bad at planning stuff like this, but we're working together to have an opportunity to come gather and celebrate Holly and send her on her way next week. So she's come to the table.
Council President Brenbone, council members, I just wanted to acknowledge your recognition and thank you for the opportunity in the last 7 years to partnership together. I've really grown and valued everything that I've learned from you, from OFS, from the department leaders, and I'm excited about this opportunity and excited to also be in partnership with the City of St. Paul going forward as well as we work together often.
Ms. Prince.
Holly, you have been an exceptional leader on our budget work in terms of leading from behind. And I just can't thank you enough for your great work. It was like a knife through my heart when I heard you were leaving. But then I thought, you'll be with the city and you'll be making the city work still. And I'm just so grateful that you're still in our sphere.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So expect a huge party next week. And maybe a pony and
Litter,
some other.
Cannon.
Cheese.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
The challenge has been made.
Okay. We have one.
Noted.
Okay. That is why the glitter cannon has not been deployed.
Also, I think it's single use.
Because literally trying to get my office vacuumed has turned into a debacle. So can imagine if you just tried to put a glitter cannon out.
I will suggest, though, that my colleagues gave me a confetti cannon one day. And it actually was something that we could pick up ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And on the little edge of the wainscoting, there's still a couple of pieces up there that I'd like to leave as a reminder. But a confetti cannon is workable.
Noted. All right. Anything else before we adjourn today? All right. We look forward to fun next week. Lots of work in front of us. And the good policy session's coming up. Appreciate the update. We are adjourned.